giant rise. Catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, ready yourselves. Let us shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as I pray.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Michael Reese, and I'm the leader of the praise group up here. And as always, I'm always so excited to get the service started. It's like opening a present at Christmas, or it's like taking a seal off of, you know, whatever your favorite food is, and you take that seal and you sniff it in. That's what worship is to me. It's like just opening up something new and something that maybe we've been waiting for a while, and there could be a little bit of surprise inside too. So sometimes that's good and sometimes not so good. But very excited to see what this worship has in store for us. I really went there. So let's go ahead and let's stand this morning and let's sing to our God that continues to give so much and to praise that gift that is to come. We have a little bit of a skeleton crew up here today, so we're hoping that your voices carry. Let's go. Let's do this together. Ready? One, two.
I've got a river of living water, a fountain that never will run dry. It's an open heaven you're releasing, and we will never be denied. 'Cause we're stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring up deep, deep waters. We're gonna dance in the river. We're stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring up deep, deep waters. We're gonna jump in the river. Jump in the river. Deep cries out to deep, cries out to you. Deep cries out to deep, cries out to you. We cry out to, we cry out to you, Jesus. I've got a river of living water, a fountain I never will run dry. It's an open heaven you're releasing, and we will never be denied. 'Cause we're stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring up deep, deep waters. We're gonna dance in the river. Dance in the river. 'Cause we're stirring up deep, deep wells. We're stirring up deep, deep waters. We're gonna jump in the river. Jump in the river. Deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep. Deep cries out to deep, cries out to deep. Cry out to, we cry out to you, Jesus. Deep cries out to, deep cries out to you. Deep cries out to, deep cries out to you. We cry out to, we cry out to you, Jesus. We're falling into deeper waters.
A God that can take us and take us right out of the depths, even when we're stirring things up. Let's continue to carry on with our worship this morning by singing Made New.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me, yeah. You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because of you. Yeah, you hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in you again. I've made new. I've made new. You're making me stronger. You're healing my heart. With your hand to hold me in, you set me apart. Now I made you because of you. Yeah, you hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in you again. I've made new. I've made new. You are for my salvation I will not fear, no. You're the strength of my life, I won't fear, no. You are my salvation, I will not fear, no. You're the strength of my life, I won't fear, no. You hold my head up, you remind me who I am. You hold my head up, I'm alive in you again. You hold my head up. You hold my head up.
And you may be seated. Take an opportunity for this tune to sing to your heart. Take this opportunity for these older words now made new. Let them speak to you today as we continue our worship service. We include the fourth verse that we had last week, that is the new verse. So I hope this is a song that speaks to you as we continue through the series.
Come now, Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my Savior, come with mortal men to dwell. Come in flesh, O love incarnate, God with us, Emmanuel. So Son of God, O Son of David, Son of Mary, Son of Man, hope of everything created, from thy throne to Bethlehem. Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
And now as we take an opportunity to stand and to pass the peace of Christ with our brothers and sisters, I would invite the confirmation students to please come forward. Good morning.
This week of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. Hope is the destination of our faith. It is not enough to be faithful, trusting in what your eyes don't see. I might believe I can fly, but leaping from a tall building without a parachute is still a bad idea. I might believe that my candidate will win the election, but if my candidate's faithful voters do not turn up for the polls, a victory is not going to be possible. A hopeless faith is like getting into a car for a week trip, not knowing where you're going. You trust that the trip will go well and that you will return home safely, but without a destination, you will wander aimlessly. Hope is what's keeping us from following a blind faith. Hope is the destination."
Before lighting the candles of love and joy, we must begin with hope. The Old Testament offers prophetic words of a time when God will rescue God's people. In Isaiah, we find, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders." These and many other Old Testament teachings guide our faith during the Advent season, for a time in which God will reconcile all things. Our hope is reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and salvation, and that hope grounds our faith.
Let us pray. Gracious God, ground our faith in the hope of salvation. Let us not walk aimlessly in the dark, but let us see the light that Christ will bring into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning. I've got Cliff Pym helping me out with worship here in a little bit. And I'm going to ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pad so you can register your attendance with us. We know who's here, and we can best care for this congregation. I wanted to raise your awareness to four different ways to get connected here at Asbury. The first is that the Starry Night is today. So if you've walked through the building at all, you've noticed that there's stuff everywhere, and it's bricks and big drapes and all sorts of cool stuff. So we are so excited for this special community event, the first annual Starry Night, and I'm hoping it's one that will continue on and on, inviting members of the community to come, experience the Christmas story, and to participate in different interactive activities. And so I hope that if you haven't invited people yet, that you get out that word the last minute, or that a big thank you to all of those who have helped so far and will be helping this evening. And I know that if you have, you said, I haven't put up anything to help, and I don't know what I would even do, you could come at 7 and help us clean up. That would be a great thing to do. Amen. All right. Cliff's like, I'm carrying everything if nobody shows up. Next thing I wanted to lift up is that the cookie walk is next week. It's a Asbury tradition that we invite members here to make some cookies, and then we lay them all out in the fellowship hall in between worship services. People are invited to pay some money towards missions, and then they get a plate of whatever delicious cookies they see in front of them. And I have been told that usually it starts at 9:30. It will be starting at 9:15. So if you come for the Christmas program next week to see the kids' Christmas program, you can come a little early, get your cookie tray, tuck it away, and enjoy the Christmas program after that. So if you could still bring cookies if you haven't been asked yet or you haven't said yes, or you can come and support missions and have fresh cookies for Christmas. And as I just mentioned, we got our Sunday School Christmas program next week. That'll be the two-year-olds through the fifth graders down in the treehouse. 9:45 to 10:45, we'll be doing a Christmas production. I'm looking forward to it. I have a three-year-old, and last year, as soon as he saw me, he needed to sit on my lap and not sing. So maybe pray that he will want to sing this year, because I'm looking forward to it. Last thing to lift up is our Christmas Eve worship services. And so it's remarkably similar to last year because we tell the same story every year. And we love this wonderful story. So we'll be having our second annual nativity party with live animals that you can pet and spend time with. That'll be at 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock is our family service. It was really full last year. I loved it. 7:30, our choir will be doing a cantata, and they'll be singing a bunch and reading scripture and telling the story in that way. And then our 10 o'clock communion service will be carols and candlelight. There'll be a pastoral reflection. So all three of these are very different services. So you can come all night and hear the story three times in three different ways and enjoy. I'll be here all night. Come enjoy the experience. All right. Cliff, I'm going to turn it over to you to get some prayers.
Now that we're connected, wow, there's a lot going on. So we'll take a moment here to share with our church family our joys and concerns. And then I'll lead us into a moment of silence, then a prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer. And then we'll get into the Word. So joys and concerns. Stand up and we'll bring a mic to you and you can share. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Linda Carver, and just an update on Tom that he had his MRI that he's going to have it read this week, and they're going to do something, I'm hoping, to help him out with his pain. But he's still having quite a bit of pain yet, and we're hoping that we know surgery is in the picture, so just prayers for him.
Prayers for Tom, of course. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Marilee Smith. I've got a couple of different prayers. First of all, Leo is not with me this morning. He took a little fall last night and has a severe case of vertigo. So prayers that he can kind of regroup. And the second prayer is we have a second great-granddaughter that's just been born, and her name is Nova. But she's 6 weeks early, and mother and child were in quite a lot of danger when she was born. So prayers for the family of Justin Klein and the baby Nova. And also for my brother, Dick Setchell. He went into the hospital this last week and very disoriented and had a lot of confusion. And they have found that he has cancer throughout his body, and it doesn't look good, and he's going to refuse treatment anyway. So prayers for the entire family.
Thank you for sharing. You bet. Don?
Hi, Don Mitchum, and I'd like to have prayers for my nephew, Philip Freestad, and his family. Philip's wife, Katrina, in Cedar Rapids, passed away from cancer at the age of 45 this week, and services will be next Saturday. So prayers for the Freestead family and all the connected family.
Hi, I'm Andy Erickson. We had a big joy this week that on Wednesday, Miles turned 12. We also have another joy that for the Advent season, at least, my parents have been joining us at church, and we're happy to see them with us. We also have a concern that we've been made aware of a family who is in need this season. They're in a difficult situation, so
okay. Pray for them. Thank you. Any others? Okay, so we'll have a moment of silence, and then I'll lead us in a prayer, and we'll go right into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the bounty that you continue to provide us each and every day. In the midst of this Advent season, we stop today to call to you and let you know we are far from perfect. When we misstep, you're there, showing us the way. Thank you for our church family, for celebrations, for new life, for the opportunities to serve, for birthdays. At this time, we also cry out for help and realize the answers may not come right away. So we wait patiently, and one day, it'll be a glorious gift that we get to open. We pray for the sick and for healing, for the doctors and caregivers, for wisdom and gentle care. We lift up those who put their lives on the line for us each and every day, firefighters, police and rescue, and our military personnel. And last, we lift up to you our efforts with Starry Night event. And if we touch one person and one family in our community and bring them closer to you, it will certainly be a success. In all the things we pray, amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our first reading today is from the book of Psalms, number 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word I hope, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word for the people of God.
Out of the depths, O Lord, I cry to you. When I am tempted to despair, oh, I might fail to trust your promises. You never fail to hear my prayer. If you just
wash my sin, I'd never stand again. But I see mercy in your hands. So more than watchmen for the morning, I will wait for you, my God. When my fears come with no warning, in your word I'll put my trust. When the harvest time is over and I still see no fruit, I will wait, I will wait for you. The secret mysteries belong to you. We only know what you reveal. And all my questions that are unresolved don't change the wisdom of your will. In every trial and loss, my hope is in the cross, where your compassions never fail. So more than watchmen for the morning, I will wait for you, my God. When my fears come with no warning, in your word I'll put my trust. When the harvest time is over and I still see no fruit, I will wait, I will wait. So more than watchmen for the morning, I will wait for you, my God. When my fears come with no warning, in your word I'll put my trust. When the harvest time is over and I still see no fruit, I will wait, I will wait.
Take an opportunity to pray the unison prayer together. More than watchmen for the morning, we have waited for you, our God. But we can often be too stuck in the pain and sorrow of the past to notice how you are breaking into the world. Help us to deal with our past so we might focus on the glorious future yet to come. Make this be for us a Christmas where we are not clouded by what we have done, but inspired by what you are doing in the world today. Amen.
I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you, Lord. I'll wait for you. I will wait for you. Trial and loss, my hope is in the cross, where your compassions never fail.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, Jesus said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Christmas is a time of nostalgia. I would be surprised to hear that anyone here has ever made it through the month of December without spending time remembering Christmases of the past. The memorable Christmases that made that year truly stand out. The time when someone got an injury from cooking or baking or hanging Christmas lights. The year that someone did something inappropriate. The time when you started a new tradition or a new person joined your Christmas celebrations. That year when you got exactly the gift that you were hoping for. Christmas just invites nostalgia and remembrance. It's almost as though it is a time when the veil between the past and the present is paper thin. We peel tissue paper back from the ornaments that we made as children or that our grown children made for us. The house smells like the special food and dessert that we made last year too, and the year before that, and the year before that. It seems as though Christmas is connected to every other Christmas that we have ever experienced. Our traditions stretching back to our childhood with twists and turns along the way, but creating memories that live on. You might think right now of a particularly strong Christmas memory. It's amazing, isn't it? How strong the memories of Christmas past can be. How they can rise close to the surface even though they are so far away from us. The past is a funny thing. At once it is close, at once it is far, and our memories of the past are never perfect, never able to capture every single detail. Our memories play tricks on our minds. The past is, in fact, a tricky thing. It informs our present so greatly, and yet we can't always get the story straight or all agree on what the past was like or what happened or what lessons that we even learned from the past. In Charles Dickens' Christmas classic, A Christmas Carol, the money worshiper Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by three ghosts of his past, his present, and his future. And they teach him lessons from his own life so he can change his course and walk a new path of redemption. This week, we're focusing on the ghost of Christmas past. I'd encourage you to pick up a book if you haven't already. Reverend Matt Rawl has some great things to say about Scrooge and the ghost of Christmas past. We have small groups that meet on Sundays and throughout the week, and there's a little pamphlet next to the book about how you might get connected to a small group, and each small group has a DVD of Matt Rawl speaking and adding things to the book, so it's wonderful to get involved in that way. Matt Rawl has some interesting things this week to say about Scrooge's journey through his past and how it begins that transformation into a healthier man. Today I want to look at this gospel lesson from John, which is an interesting story in and of itself about how we regard the past and how we can rise above our past. Will you pray with me? Holy God, the past can seem so far away and yet so close. We can live in nostalgia and pain and reminiscence. It can be easy to dwell in the past or give it too much credence to the present. Wonderful God, we pray that you help us to deal with pains of our past or be drawn out of being stuck in the past so that we may see what you are doing in the here and now and the promises for our future. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today comes in the first chapter of John's gospel. So it's at the very start of this account of Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection. In the chapter this week, Matt Rawl actually addressed this, that all four Gospels tell different birth stories of Jesus. Our Christmas pageants and our programs tend to blend them all together, another case of our memories of the past not being too reliable. And John's Gospel is no exception. In fact, maybe it's very different from Luke and Matthew, in that he begins with what we call the cosmic Christ. Jesus, the Word of God, who is with God the Father at the very beginning, part of the creation of the world. And then we hear about John the Baptist, who is making way for Jesus' ministry, and Jesus' very first disciples in this gospel were first followers of John, and John encourages them to follow Jesus. So we pick up our scripture reading today in the story where Jesus asks Philip to follow him. And then Philip turns around and tells Nathanael to follow him. Philip is pretty psyched. He tells Nathanael, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. All of Israel has been waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah who will bring redemption to their people. In this season of Advent, as we await the birth of the Messiah, we remember those who waited for centuries for that salvation and redemption. We rejoice with Philip that the waiting is over, the hope, the Messiah that they had waited for, that their mothers and fathers had waited for, their grandmothers and grandfathers had waited for, he was there." And then what does Nathanael say? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, at first glance, it seems like Nathanael may have met a person or two from Nazareth that he didn't particularly care for. Maybe they were lazy. Maybe they were drunks. Maybe they were thieves. "Can anything good come out of that podunk town of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of the Appalachians or Arkansas or Alabama?" It seems like Nathanael has judged Jesus before he's even met him based on his past. If Jesus is like anyone else from Nazareth, he isn't even worth knowing. And wow, how many times have I done that exact same thing? How many times have I used someone's past as a shorthand for whether or not they are worth my time? How many times have I let someone's wealth or the activities that they enjoy, their mental health, the area that they're from. How many times have I let those things determine whether or not I want to get to know them? How many times have I dismissed someone because of their past, figuring that's all I need to know about them? How many times have you done that? How many times have you figured someone grew up on the wrong side of the tracks or made too many mistakes? They aren't worth the energy to get to know them. Our past makes a difference. It shapes us into who we are today, but we are more than our past. We are more than who we have been or where we come from. At first glance, it seems like Nathanael is dismissing Jesus based on where he came from, a poor town where nothing exciting ever happens. But there's another layer under the text, a layer of prophecy and expectation. A layer of the writings of old that foretell the hope that is to come. Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything as magnificent as a savior come from a town of so little value that the Hebrew Bible never mentions Nazareth once?" The Jewish people knew what they were looking for. They knew the signs that had been foretold of the salvation to come, and it wasn't coming from Nazareth. Nazareth is never talked about once in our Old Testament. Nathanael has expectations for the present and where his hope can be found based on a collective nostalgia and remembrance and hope from the past. The coming of Jesus doesn't match that picture. This can't be who Moses and the prophets promised. They didn't say anything about Nazareth. Nathanael is stuck in a nostalgia and in traditions that were laid down well before his birth. He is unwilling or unable to understand that something new can be flowering up, something unexpected, something that matches the Savior that this world needs, even if it isn't the Savior that the world expects. It reminds me of Christmas traditions that we continue on and on and on because they were started so long ago for a different time and place. My family likes to open gifts on Christmas Eve because, well before I was born, my grandmother would work on Christmas Day. Can any good gifts come on Christmas Day? And my husband's family likes to wake up very, very early, very early on Christmas Day to open gifts because long before he was born, his grandmother had to work on Christmas Day as well. They just chose to wake up early, I suppose. Can any good gifts come on Christmas Eve? Not in his opinion. Traditions are a funny thing because they're rooted in the past, but they don't always fit our current situations. And we can have a hard time letting go of the traditions of Christmas past because they connect us to a past that we understood, a past that seemed to make more sense, a past when things were simple and good. Nathanael cannot imagine that his tradition, which tells him what to expect in a savior, would lead him to Nazareth. His eyes are on the past. Which is why I love that Jesus' response has Jesus' eyes on the past as well. Jesus sees Nathanael, and this is their first meeting in John's gospel. We haven't seen them interact at all. And right out of his mouth, he says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." This is a stand-up guy. Nathanael asked, understandably, "Where did you get to know me? How do you know my past? What do you see there? What's the shorthand that you're using to assess whether I'm worthy of your time and dedication and adoration? Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Do you see the difference in how these two men use the past to inform their present? Nathaniel said, I know where he comes from. He's not worth my time and energy. Jesus said, I saw your past. I knew you before you realized I was with you, and I see the goodness in you. One responds to the past with hopelessness, and one responds to the past with hope. It's easy to let our past define us. It's easy to dwell in who we have been, who others have been, and just write them off based on their past. It's easy to decide that the story of their past doesn't fit our expectations of what makes a good citizen, what makes a good friend, a good leader, even a good Christian. And then we see the past with the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus draws Nathanael's attention to where Jesus was with him in the story all along. Jesus was a part of his past. Jesus had his eye on Nathanael before Nathanael was aware. Have you ever looked back at your past with 20/20 hindsight and seen where Jesus was leading you through the whole time? Have you seen God's grace guiding your past, caring for you, watching over you, sitting with you in the tough times? In Ebenezer Scrooge's journey through the past, he went to his lonely childhood. Have you had times of dark loneliness? Jesus was there, and he saw you under the Christmas tree. Scrooge's journey through the past took him to a bright and fun Christmas celebration with dancing. Have you had times of intense joy? Jesus was there, and he saw you under the Christmas tree. We might long for the past, but it will never return. We might have regrets from our past, but we can never change them. The past is past, now only something we can reflect on and use to guide our present and our future. We can look back with nostalgia. We can mourn over what can be no more. We can look back with pain and dwell on what had been that we cannot fix. Or we can look back with hope, and we can see Jesus' light in the darkness and the comfort of the light that continues to shine in our life. You cannot change the past, but you can learn from it, and you can grow. And you will find hope in knowing that Jesus saw you under the Christmas tree, and he knows all your memories of Christmas past, the good and the bad. And he proclaims, here is truly a person in whom there is no deceit. That's a stand-up person right there. Nathanael asked his friend Philip, can anything good come from Nazareth? You may have friends or loved ones who are asking the same thing about the church. Can anything good come from Christians? I know how terrible they've been, what a mess they've made of things, and what their reputation is like in the media and in the history books. You'll notice that Philip doesn't respond by defending Jesus. We don't get a lengthy debate back and forth in the scripture. Philip says, come and see. You know people who've experienced pain from Christians and churches, or maybe have no experience with the church and they don't even think it's worth it. I invite you to take Philip's example and respond, come and see. I invite you to invite them to Asbury to encounter Christ for themselves. Perhaps this afternoon at the Starry Night, perhaps in worship in the next 2 weeks as we continue the story of Scrooge and A Christmas Carol. Perhaps on Christmas Eve at one of our worship services, or the Sunday after Christmas, and we'll tell that story again in another way. Come and see. Come out of the difficulties of the past and see how God is working in the here and now. Come and see that out of the past there is hope to be found in Jesus, who saw us all under the Christmas tree before we had met him. And there under the trees of Christmas past, Jesus saw us. He knew us. He loved us. And he invited us to come and follow him. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy and wonderful God, we thank you that you have seen us, you have known us, and you have loved us. We thank you that you have been with us in Christmases past, in years past, sat with us in our pain, and celebrated with us in our joy. Lord God, we know that you can redeem our past if we have things that are plaguing us and causing us difficulty and pain. You helped us walk through it, and you continue to redeem that past. If we are caught up in judging others by their past and their history, help us to see with your eyes of grace and of love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This time we'll take up an offering. I invite you to give generously as Christ has given to you. I invite you to stand and receive a blessing. I was listening to Christmas music this week in the car, and I heard "O Holy Night." Some of you may be familiar with it. And there was a line that stuck out because I'm thinking of Sunday and our theme of hope and of the past. And the line that stuck out for me was, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices." That just says it all. The world is weary. The world has been through so much. We have been through so much, and we know people who have been through so much and are weary, and yet there's hope in the coming of the Savior. So I invite you to spread that message of hope and redemption this week as you go out into the world to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Peace be with you.
Joy. 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 world, to the world. Rejoice, rejoice, our King is here. He shall reign forever. Men of earth and angels cheer. He shall reign forever. Glory right before our eyes. He shall reign forever. Majesty in a manger lies. He shall reign forever. Joy to the world, to the world. The Lord is come. Joy to the world, God sent his Son. Go tell the world. Tell the world, tell everyone, joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Have a blessed week, everyone. We'll see you next week.